Claire and the Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Episode 4, Brian Come Home.
That is exactly the kind of condescending, arrogant, idiotic nonsense I've come to expect from you, Brian.
This is what you always do, reduce everything to a playground slanging match.
Oh, you are so sanctimonious. I actually don't have to listen to your lectures.
Yeah, being stubborn doesn't put you in the right, Claire.
Yeah, and being pompous doesn't put you in the right, Brian.
You know, this argument has gone on for so long that I can't actually remember what it was all about.
You know, neither can I. Except that you did start it.
Yeah, like hell I did.
Yeah, your problem, Brian, is that nothing is ever your problem.
Don't make me laugh. I've had enough. I'm out of here.
What? I can't believe you're doing this. It shows a total disregard for me, my opinions, my feelings, and our relationship. It's selfish, it's childish, it's inconsiderate, it's totally, totally immature. You know full well it's my turn to storm out on you.
How long did they say this should take?
They didn't actually. They said we've just got to wait.
Claire, what's going on? Why is everyone standing around in the car park?
There's a swarm of bees on the roof of the office. We can't go in until they've been dispersed.
Why don't we apply for an antisocial beehive order? Oh, dear. Has someone already made that joke?
Yeah, about 25 times.
Hi, everyone. What's the problem?
Swarm of bees on the roof.
Why don't we apply for
We've
a...
We've heard it.
Tried that.
Sorry. So, Irene, how was your weekend?
Incredible. There's nothing quite like a dozen young offenders away on an outward-bound course to concentrate the mind.
Okay, was it?
Helen, I tell you, when I arrived, I was faced with a disparate, incohesive hodgepodge of individuals. But after only 2 days working under my leadership, they transformed into a single unit, thinking and behaving as one.
What, they hated your guts or they thought you were crap?
A bit of both. Still, can't complain, though. 2 days away from...
Irene!
Oh, he spotted me. I think I might take my chances inside with the bees.
Any messages for me, Megan?
Children and families want you to give them a call. Mm-hmm. Mr. Leach has confirmed it's 10:30.
Okay.
And there's been the usual assortment of 10-year-olds begging to be taken away from their parents and put in a children's home, just like Tracy Beaker. nothing pressing.
Oh, good.
Anything in the paper?
Oh, bless. The A-level results are out, poor lambkins.
Oh, who'd go through all that again? Not me.
Nor me, eh? It seems ridiculous now, but at the time, it seemed like my whole life, you know, my whole worth, my whole being was dependent on my getting good grades.
Yeah?
It's only in retrospect that you realise how totally meaningless they are.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, nonsensical.
Pointless, yeah.
I got 3 A's. How about you?
Look, my grandma was ill, all right, and I just split up with this boy.
Are you sure you don't mind, Simon?
What are mates for?
Nesbitt, take your hands out of your pockets!
Nesbitt?
New geography teacher. Can't stand him.
See, I don't want to impose on you. I know there's Helen to consider.
Forget it. Mates come first. As long as you don't mind the sofa.
Sofa is fine.
To be honest, I could do with a bit of male company around my gaff. Helen was on at me again last night because I won't discuss my feelings.
Claire was always saying that I don't like strong women.
Rubbish. Xena, warrior princess. You liked her?
Yeah, and her little friend.
So I say to Helen, I can discuss emotions with the best of them. To me, a relationship is like a tiny bird. Hold it too tight, it suffocates. Hold it too loosely, it flies away. Helen cried.
It's the fencing scene from Scaramouche, 1953, Stuart Granger.
2 points, that man.
Do you know what I find deeply disturbing, Irene? This whole culture of blame. It's an intolerance of fallibility, an impatience with imperfection, a denial of the basic human right to make an honest mistake. Don't you agree?
What have you done, Helen?
Reverse the minibus over your scooter.
Great! This day couldn't get any worse.
Irene.
Oh, spoke too soon. Yes, Ray.
I need a hug.
Oh, of course you do.
Poor Ray. I'd go over, but Irene seems to have it under control.
Well done, Megan. You're learning.
It's hard not to feel sorry for him, isn't it?
He is being totally unprofessional. Social workers provide an emergency service. You wouldn't call an ambulance and expect them to say, oh, you know, normally we would come out, but we're all feeling a little bit upset this morning.
But, I mean, still...
You know, but emotion, Megan, is a luxury that we can't afford. You don't feel sorry for the clients, so you shouldn't feel sorry for yourself.
A person can't just cut off from their emotions just like that. I mean, poor Ray's heartbroken. Carlos was the one, the love of his life. What are the chances of Ray going on holiday and meeting another waiter like him?
I mean, you know, it's just tough.
So, if you and Brian were to split up, you'd just carry on regardless?
Yeah, of course I would.
I don't believe it.
No? Well, you know, actually, Brian has just walked out on me.
Oh, my goodness, Claire!
Yeah, he wrote me a long, long letter. Now, if you'll excuse me, Megan, I have work to get on with. So, Mr. Mortar, you've recently moved into short-term accommodation in a hostel. How are you finding that?
Terrifyingly lonely.
Good.
But what would someone like you know about isolation? I've been isolated all my life. I've sat on the pavement and had people walk round me as if I were a bag of rubbish. It's not a question of being alone. It's about not belonging. It's about being physically present yet being totally invisible, as though your existence is a complete irrelevance. But I don't expect you to understand what I'm talking about.
Actually, Mr. Mortar, I think I can relate to what you're saying.
Really?
Really. For example, I have never watched Desperate Housewives. But go down the pub, it's all anyone wants to talk about. I might as well not even be there. You know, it's exactly the same with Twin Peaks.
Oh. I like Twin Peaks.
Thanks, Irene, thanks. You're my rock.
Any time, Ray.
Are you around later? I have something important that I need to ask you.
Oh, I'm here all day. Catch you later.
Helen, did you hear that?
Hear what?
I've been dreading this moment. I've seen it coming. Ray is going to pop the question.
What?
He's going to ask me if he can be my best gay friend.
So? Do you have anyone special at the moment?
No, but that's not the point. I mean, I like him, but not in that way.
It is a commitment. I tell you who would make a brilliant best gay friend. Bruce in Fostering and Adoption.
Oh, Bruce would be fantastic. Yeah, but he's out of my league.
Don't put yourself down, Irene. You could have Bruce. You could have any gay man you wanted.
Thanks, Helen.
People, I don't want to be a panic monger, but have you heard the terrible news?
Okay then, Mr. Mortar, I'll be in touch.
Damn fine cherry pie.
Righto, whatever. Goodbye. A reception committee. I take it that Megan has been blabbing her mouth off.
I'm sorry, Claire, I couldn't help it. I was so upset by your news I had to tell someone, but everyone.
If there's anything we can do...
I'm so sorry.
I'm absolutely devastated. Irene, I need a hug.
Not now, Ray.
Well, excuse me, team, but this is still a working day. Come on, everyone, back to work.
I could never understand why they were together in the first place. Mm.
Together, there was damage limitation. Apart, they can spoil two other lives.
That's hardly surprising with what's been going on.
What's been going on?
Well, I don't know. I thought you might.
Here we go. 2 pints. I didn't get Ray one in case you sent him to the wrong pub again.
So? Megan, what do you make of Claire and Brian splitting up?
Baffled. And as for Claire's response, I just cannot believe a person can spend 10 years in a relationship and then just be totally unmoved when it ends.
She's in denial. It's a textbook case of denial. She pretends nothing's happened. Pressure builds up. Tick, 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 tock, kablam, splat! Psyche all over the ceiling.
Aren't we forgetting? There is someone else going through a tough time who needs support and love.
Ray?
Me! I'm having to put up with a miserable git.
So, did he pop the question?
No, thank goodness. I got off lightly. I just have to spend the evening with him and his dead mother.
Sounds fun.
It's the first anniversary of his mother's death. He wants me to go with him to a seance.
Well, you know, I think that's really sad. These so-called psychics prey on the grief and distress of the bereaved.
The charlatans should be charged with emotional fraud.
I agree. It's outrageous. It's the callous exploitation of vulnerability.
It's sick.
Pathetic.
Unforgivable. Whilst you're there, could you ask Uncle Bernie what he did with Nana's jewellery?
Megan, I thought you were going to the pub with the others.
I did, but then I decided to come round and see you.
OK.
I've put a big tub of ice cream. Let's have a girly night in. What do you say?
Yeah, it's a nice gesture. I don't really like ice cream.
No?
No, but I'll get you a bowl and a spoon.
Thanks. Forget the bowl, just waste time. I tell you, Claire, I've become addicted to this stuff, Rum and Raisin. It's a pregnancy thing. Have you got any gherkins?
No.
Pity. I'm working my way through the flavours. First trimester, stem ginger. Second trimester, pistachio. Birth imminent, rum and raisin. I'm going to say that to the midwife. Forget air and gas, give me rum and raisin.
Sorry, Megan, is there a reason for you being here?
Oh, yes, there's a reason. But do you mind if I just finish this first?
No.
Fantastic. Last chance to try a bit?
No.
No, too late, all gone. That's great. So... Claire, you and Brian...
Shall I take that? Take that.
No, don't take it away. I can still tear it apart and lick it.
You know, I'm really touched by your concern, Megan, but there's no call at all. I'm fine, honestly.
No, you're in denial. Everyone at the pub agrees you're a textbook case.
Haven't you people got anything better to talk about?
Not at the moment.
I'm not in denial.
You need to talk to someone.
No, I really don't.
Listen, if it's difficult talking to friends, I could always give you the number of my therapist.
Therapist? Therapy is self-indulgent claptrap. And therapists are a bunch of vultures picking at the bloated carcass of middle-class insecurity.
You wouldn't say that if you met Susan, my therapist. What? Susan's brilliant. I mean, she helped me work through so much, especially after I left that bastard Tom.
Oh, is that your ex-boyfriend?
My previous therapist. Oh.
Great.
Oh, seriously, therapy saved me. I used to feel so inadequate. I would apologise for myself all the time. I'd apologise for things that I said and done. I'd apologise for things I hadn't said and done. It just got so bad. I'd enter a room full of people and I'd just apologise. But therapy has freed me from all that.
Oh, Megan, give it a rest.
Sorry.
I'm not in denial. Look, I meant to tell you this earlier, but I was snowed under with work. Brian does this every year. He gets into a great big man-strop and he, you know, sulks off. And after about 24 hours, he feels I've been sufficiently punished by his absence and he slopes back home. It's really no big deal.
But how can you be certain he's coming back?
Yeah, the bathroom cabinet. All his stuff is still there. His, you know, anti-dandruff shampoo, eczema cream, athlete's foot spray, antifungal lotion, veruca patches, nose hair trimmer. Oh, and the clincher, hemorrhoid suppositories. He'd never last long in the outside world without those. Megan, he is definitely coming back. Oh, look, there we go, as if on cue. Hi, Brian, I've left you some pasta on the stove.
Hello, Megan. Claire, not stopping. Just popped back to collect some things from the bathroom cabinet.
If you'd both like to take a seat at the table, I'll join you presently.
Thank you.
Irene, what are you doing?
Looking for hidden microphones, trip wires, that kind of thing.
Look, please, come out from under the table.
Check the bookcase. I bet it revolves.
Oh, no, you check the bookcase. I'll go and fetch Scooby-Doo and the others. Please, would you... Just take this seriously.
Well, the books, they're all real. Well,
of course they're real books. Now, you promised me you'd keep an open mind. Mr. Van Helstrom is a highly respected clairvoyant. He's been on Channel 5 and everything. It would mean the world to me if I made contact with Mother. There were things that left unsaid.
Because she died. People are supposed to stop speaking when they die. Sorry, Ray. But this stuff freaks me out.
Dead people are dead. That's why they're called dead.
Apologies. I'm sorry. Did I startle you?
Not at all.
Shall we begin?
Well, if that's the reason, I'm not surprised he's angry with you.
I don't know if it's the reason, but it's a reason. Look, how can you take Brian's side over mine?
Because you invaded his privacy and abused his trust. I can fully appreciate how betrayed he must feel.
Him betrayed? What about me? Can you imagine how it feels to see yourself described as intrusive, interfering and manipulative?
Sorry, Claire, but you've only got yourself to blame. Reading his diary is one thing, but correcting his spelling mistake...
You should have seen the punctuation. It was atrocious. And this man is an English teacher.
It's just not the point.
Besides, you know, it simply isn't true. I'm not manipulative. Am I? Megan.
Well.
Oh, come on then. Give me an example.
Okay, Claire, I will. I am an independent, self-confident, self-reliant woman, totally comfortable with her single-person mm-hmm. status. Yet in February, you took it upon yourself to send me an anonymous Valentine card.
That was just to cheer you up. But point taken.
Oh, no, so it was you!
Brian and I used to have a little Valentine's Day ritual. You know, every year he'd get me a card and every year I'd call him a sexist pig and I'd tear it up in his face.
Are you okay, Claire?
Is that it? You know, 10 years. Finished.
He loves you, Claire. This doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
Well, because he's committed to you. Brian would explore every option before he walked out.
He has become really obsessed recently with keeping our relationship fresh. You know, he does say that without constant reinvention and change, we run the risk of over-familiarity.
I know. He told me he was even considering shaving off his beard.
Brian's got a beard.
What? Nothing. Nothing at all. Are you absolutely sure?
What you must understand, Mr. Bishop, is that I do not communicate with the spirit world. The spirit world communicates through me.
Go on, give it another go. Bella Bishop, formerly of 38 Beresford Road.
I'm a clairvoyant, Mr. Bishop, not a paging service.
Well, try something else. A Ouija board, tapping. I mean, shouldn't we all be joining hands? But we're not even joining hands.
Oh, come on, Ray, let's go.
Well, it's not as though I'm asking for Elvis. I just want my mum.
Let's leave this fraud to his fakery.
Ectoplasm. Come on, produce some ectoplasm. 75 quid an hour, you'd expect a bit of ectoplasm.
Oh, one moment, please.
Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. My friend here is really distressed, and you're making a living out of it.
I have someone coming through.
Oh, please. You've had your money. Give it a rest.
Mrs. Etienne.
Grandma?
I can't help but think back on how things were between us. I used to come home every night and dump all my pain and frustration and tension onto Brian. You know, Megan, I'm really going to miss being able to do that.
Claire, it's not over. You can save your relationship, but you just have to get in touch with your feelings.
Right. Well, what do I do?
Claire, you can either cry or talk.
You know, that's not really working for me. I think I'll try talking.
I'm listening. You know, I think I'm going to be rather good at this.
I am going to talk to Brian, not you. But you're going to have to come with me, Megan.
Brilliant. Oh, thank you so much, Claire. I've always wanted to go at this. I promise I'll be discretion itself. I'll hold my counsel unless I have a pertinent insight to share. Honesty is the keynote here.
Okay, you are going to tell him it was all your idea, okay? And that you made me go for his sake.
Okay.
Come on, let's go over to Simon's.
Simon's?
Yeah. Where else would he be?
This is ridiculous. I pay £75 an hour to communicate with my dead mother and her grandma shows up for free. This is so unfair, Irene. You don't even believe in any of it.
I am but the conduit through...
Yeah. Guiding light, draw away the veil, blah, blah, blah. Change the record.
My fault. Grandma always had a habit of showing up when she wasn't wanted. Like at Grandad's second wedding.
Well, just tell her to clear off. There's a meter running here. Better still, tell your grandmother to go and fetch my mum.
I'm doing no such thing. My grandmother is 85. Well, 112 if you add the dead bits. I'm not having her hair in around heaven at her age. Assuming it is heaven.
I have a message from Mrs. Etienne.
Oh, great.
Apparently, she has Mrs. Bishop next to her at the moment.
Ooh, they know each other. Isn't that a little strange?
Everything that's happening in here is a little strange, Ray.
Why won't she speak to me? Mom! Mom! It's me! It's Ray!
She's dead, Mr. Bishop, not dead.
Excuse me. Would it be possible to talk to my grandmother?
By all means.
Oh. Bonjour, grand-mère. Ça va bien? J'espère es-tu très heureux dans le monde de la mort?
Oui, je suis très content. Les gens sont gentils ici et la douleur est absente de mon corps.
Ah ha ha! Gotcha! You charlatan! Grandma couldn't speak a word of French.
She's been taking lessons.
Woohoo! Edith Piaf! Come on, Ray, I've had enough.
What about my mum? Mrs. Etienne!
This nonsense can all be rationally explained through a combination of cheap psychology and fairground trickery. Clairvoyant indeed. What do you take us for? I've had enough. I'm sick of your seance, I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of your silly friend in the fancy dress over there.
Who?
Strong but silent, standing behind you, with a beard and the frock coat.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Ray, I think I'd like to go now.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Hey, wait for me!
So, Claire, what do you think? Should we start with issues around self-esteem and discuss your respective childhoods, that kind of thing? Or should we just plunge into the deep end with your sex life?
Okay, right, this is the place. You remember that you made me come here.
Hello?
Brian? It's me.
And me. I made her come here.
Not yet, Megan.
What are you two doing here?
Okay, well, Megan has persuaded me to give you one more chance, which you don't deserve, because she thinks that we can salvage what's left of our so-called relationship.
It's not really all that convenient at the moment.
You do want to salvage it, don't you, Brian? Well?
Yeah, okay, fine, but do you think you could pop back in about 90 minutes? We can try and salvage it then.
90 minutes?
Just watching the football.
Now, Brian!
Suppose you better come in.
Oh, Brian, what is this? Two pizzas, two garlic breads, two coleslaws.
Claire, it's not what it looks like.
It is exactly what it looks like. You have broken your diet.
Yeah, how do you know I'm not, you know, entertaining?
What? A woman?
Infidelity, it seems, the ultimate betrayal, but many couples come through the trauma of adultery and learn about themselves from the experience.
Excuse me, Claire, but I could be. It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Brian has a point here. Often in long-term relationships, it's easy to forget that the partner is a sexual being.
Look, if there's a problem, Brian, running away isn't going to solve it.
Good point.
I'm not running away.
It's not running away.
I just needed a bit of space.
And space is something we all need.
Look, you eat that lot, Brian. You're going to need a whole lot more space.
Harsh there, Claire, but can we keep things non-judgmental?
You always have to ruthlessly criticise me.
Brian, that isn't true, and nor is it grammatically correct. To ruthlessly criticise is a split infinitive, as you should know.
Good, I think we're getting somewhere.
Look, I needed to get away. End of story.
Do you know how selfish that is, Brian? You disappear without a word. You don't tell me when you're coming back. You don't tell me if you're coming back.
Sorry, Brian, but do I spot ice cream? Two tubs.
I did tell you.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did, in the letter.
The letter?
You did read the letter.
Of course I read the letter. Well, I read the first bit.
I don't believe you sometimes.
Look, I was late for work. I got distracted. Oh. Let's be honest, Brian. Your handwriting is indecipherable.
You know, sometimes I almost prefer ice cream when it's runny because you can drink it like a drink.
What did it say? Well, it said that I was claiming some much-needed personal space. However, just for a change, I would be extending my customary one day of reflection into two.
Oh, right, so you can eat crap and drink beer and watch football.
Honestly, Claire, that is such a shallow interpretation.
Cool it, stud. Save some for the bedroom.
Good grief. Simon? What are all these people doing here?
Hello, Helen.
Hi.
I have absolutely no idea. Except for Brian, of course. He's staying with me.
You didn't tell me.
I didn't think I had to tell you.
Look, don't mind us, Helen. We're just going.
Yeah, thanks, Simon.
Yeah, any time, mate.
Not even married yet, and you're already taking me for granted.
Suppose that's conjugals off the menu. Might as well watch the football.
Is that your answer to everything? Bury your head in the television?
Excuse me, I hope I'm not being presumptuous, but would a little couple counselling for me help? I've just sorted Brian and Claire out, and they were in a shocking mess.
Lost souls, Megan, lost souls. Exactly when is the thread of hope abandoned? Is it possible to identify the moment in life when joy was replaced by desolation and purpose by worthlessness?
May 10th, 2004, when I couldn't get on the film studies course and took up social work instead. How about you?
Oh, I'm still hopeful. I want to show you something. Brian made it for me.
Oh, a piece of wood with bits chopped out.
It's a Welsh love spoon, so Brian tells me.
Oh, it's not very spoon-like, is it?
Well, yeah, apparently he started whittling and he just, like, carried away.
More of a chopstick.
The point is that that is what he spent his time doing when he was away at Simon's. I was quite touched.
You know, Claire, I'm really glad you and Brian are back together.
Yeah, we've still got a lot of stuff to work through, though, Megan.
I'm so proud of you, Claire. I know it wasn't easy for you going to couple counselling, but you made the right decision.
It's true. Brian and I are finding it very valuable, you know, being able to reassess and explore our relationship in a supportive and non-judgmental environment.
How long do you think it'll go for?
Till the little bastard admits it was all his fault.
You cannot say that, Claire. Can she say that?
As your counsellor, it is not my place
no,
to...
No, you tell him that I can say that, can't I?
I'm not a referee.
Yeah, he basically said that I could say it.
Yeah, he said no such thing.
Nor should you compete for my approval.
I have every right to say it, Brian, and let me explain why. Because I have just told you how I feel. I have claimed my feelings, and they are not subject to discussion, comment or negotiation. Am I not right?
Well...
Yeah, and you can't argue against them, actually, or refute them, or contradict them, because how I feel is how I feel, Brian.
And you feel I'm a useless prat.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I think I could get to like this therapy lark.
You have been listening to Claire in the Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden, starring Sally Phillips, Nina Conti, Gemma Craven, Alex Lowe, Richard Lumsden and Ellen Thomas, with Andrew Wincott and Gerard McDermott. The producer was Katie Tyrrell.